radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. Then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place. Business goes on.
as usual.
Bassist Professor Griff, you're listening to Junior Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on, and be prepared for an informative, thought-provoking program today. Our guest is William Reed, who is a longtime journalist, editor, executive director of the National Newspaper Publishers Association, currently publishes a weekly column that can be seen online as well as when the 200-plus African-American newspapers around the country entitled The Business Exchange. And I saw it, and it was an interesting article entitled What Are Blacks to Do About Ron Paul? Touches on current events, politics, and broadening our awareness and horizons. And since that's what we intend to do and endeavor to do here on the Blake Radio Network, I felt it would be very interesting to invite him back because he is a person who has his ear to the ground and his finger on the pulse of the community, stationed in Washington, D.C., and he's a longtime journalist there. That, in fact, that's where the headquarters, the NNPA, are located in Washington, D.C. He's been there since he left his position at the NNPA many years ago. He remained in the Washington, D.C. area and doing his writing and PR. And his column on Ron Paul, the Republican candidate for the presidency, is quite interesting. And Mr. Paul has been ignored by the mainstream media. He was marginalized early on in the debates. He's the victim of all kinds of dirty tricks. They tried to say that he's an extremist because he's for peace. I mean, imagine that. That's how crazy and insane this country is. That someone who stands for peace, someone who wants to dismantle the American empire, to cease the militarism and the imperialism and the racism, is branded an extremist. And I've been watching some of the debates recently. And so what you have is you have all these people, all these front runners jockeying. One day Santorum's up, another day it's Newt Gingrich, another day it's Mitt Romney. All these guys are either lifetime career politicians, they're millionaires, and just to listen to them talk, particularly on economic policy and foreign policy, is mind-boggling. Unless you get all your information from Fox News or some of the Clear Channel's talking heads like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and those type people, then you can go along with what they're saying. But if you're a free thinker, if you're appalled at the economic condition, the economic depression that we're currently in, if you're flabbergasted and flummoxed by the decisions of the past several administrations, whether they've been Democrats or Republicans, in terms of the march to global war on a perpetual basis, then you should give a listen to Ron Paul, because that's where he stands. And Mr. Reed has an interesting assessment, he claims that Ron Paul's foreign policy is very close to that of Martin Luther King, and we'll talk to him a little bit later. But be prepared for some thought-provoking programming. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back following these messages, and the next voices you will hear will be those of yours truly and William Reed. Stay tuned.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. Our guest is William Reed, who penned the column The Business Exchange, which is seen in over 200 African-American newspapers around the country. It's also posted on several websites. And he is a well-connected journalist, has his ear to the ground, his finger on the pulse of what's going on in Washington, D.C. And as always, it's great to have him back to offer his insights and commentary. And I just always want to take this opportunity to say, number one, he's a friend of mine, a man I dearly, dearly admire and respect. And he gave me a shot many, many years ago, it was 1995, I guess it was, to contribute to the NNPA, and I'll be forever grateful to him taking, he and Oliver Sal, taking a chance on an unknown. So thank you, brother.
It is definitely my pleasure to talk with you today. It's my pleasure to be your friend, your longtime friend, and it's just my pleasure to be here and here today.
Today we want to talk about your most recent column, What Are Blacks to Do with Ron Paul? Now, you're located in close proximity to Washington, D.C. Like I said, you have your finger on the pulse and ear to the ground. And I suspect this is a rhetorical question, although a lot of your columns are outside the box or outside the gatekeepers want us to think about. You know, so you've been known to offer some questions and some insight and information that unsettles a lot of people. So was that your intent, or were you just trying to generate thought?
Well, definitely all of the above, but particularly to generate some thought. And to have, particularly generate some thought and have black people think maybe a little bit out of the box, or definitely think a little bit toward their own interests. Happening, Ron
you're
Paul
asking
has,
black people to think in terms of our own self-interest?
Yes.
But that's seditious, brother.
I think it's seditious not only from white people's point of view, but black people's as well. So you're right about that. But on the mainstream media, Ron Paul has been getting a lot of exposure, but here lately, a lot of the exposure has been over allegations that he edited some racist newsletters or had some racist commentary in newsletters back in the 1990s. Now, first of all, this is back in the 1980s and the 90s. It's been over 20 years ago. But if you talk to anybody, nobody can ever really say what the racist commentary has been. And to charge Paul with racism in this instance is really misleading. I want to say that again. To charge Ron Paul with racism at this date and this time is misleading, and I think it has something to do with just how well he's showing in the presidential campaign. But have you heard, has the statement ever, you've ever heard the statement, Ron Paul is racist?
I've heard it leveled at him. I've heard it, him charged with it. In fact, I think several months ago, there was trickles or indications that they were going to level these charges at him. But I think when they went back, they really couldn't find anything attributable to him personally. They were just on his newsletters.
That's the crux of the problem. Is what can anybody step to the microphone and say what it is that Ron Paul said that was racist? They just can't do it. They just can't do it. I have been, now I don't want the people in the audience to think that I'm an old gangster, but I've been around for a while, and Ron Paul has, I've tracked Ron Paul for 20 years. He's been an honorary old cuss, but he's been forthright, he's been direct, and he never misled you in any way in anything. And I actually think that he's a person He's a good man, and he has high degree of high principles and a high degree of integrity. And I definitely think that black people need to give him the benefit of a doubt. First of all, to say, well, if he has said something racist, be able to say what it is. But if he hasn't said anything racist, then take a long look at the people who are telling you that he is a racist, because they're the ones you really should take a look at. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, once they began leveling this charge at him, because keep in mind, they're all vetted and they know the skeletons in their closet. It's preposterous that someone like Newt Gingrich, with all his baggage, is at one. He had his 15 minutes of fame, and he's even viewed as a front runner. Same thing with Rick Santorum. But when Ron Paul was confronted with these, he stepped up and said he takes responsibility. He should have been more diligent in looking at what was posted under his name on his newsletters, but he did not subscribe to those beliefs.
And he said it very clearly that he doesn't subscribe to those beliefs. You know, my column is directed to black newspapers, so I write, you know, to black people over the medium of black newspapers. If blacks were to take a closer look at Ron Paul, they'd actually see his political positions are in line with those preached and practiced by Martin Luther King. His positions on foreign policy are vastly similar to Martin Luther King's, and a whole lot different than the other 2012 presidential candidates, and that includes Barack Obama.
Well, that's why they're so apoplectic, and why they're having conniptions, because he's in there. I mean, first they tried to marginalize him, so then he's hung tough with all these debates. How many have they had? What, 30 by now?
I think it's 16.
Okay.
Do you think it's 30?
Well, I don't know, because I've just started looking at them recently.
That's not to say that I've looked at them too, but I think it's in the teens, and it's not 30, but they may be headed for it before it's all over.
Well, yeah, but I think he handles himself in a credible manner, but early on, they ignored him. They totally marginalized him.
Totally marginalized him, and he was ignored, but the public wasn't ignoring him. And the reason that the old military-industrial war complex is now rearing its head, because a sizable number of people are in fact looking at his political positions and saying that they agree with him. And this I think that is something that black people need to get out of the box, move away from I am a Democrat, my father was a Democrat, etc., and take a look, not necessarily just take a look at the man, but in doing that, you'll look across the political aisle too. But Ron Paul's positions on foreign policy are that we should bring our troops home. We should bring our troops home,
yep,
from around the world.
Yep.
We should stop our imperialistic attitude of trying to rule the world and trying to be the policeman of the world, and just bring our troops home. It saves money too. He's a fiscal conservative, and the whole idea.
Actually, he's a libertarian, which is a little bit different.
Okay, let's talk about that. How would you define Ron Paul?
Well, no, I agree with you. He's fiscally conservative, but he calls himself a libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at libertarians, they believe in limited government. They don't believe the government should run a nanny state where they're involved in your life from womb to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in free trade, and obviously what we're seeing now around the world is not free trade. And so
let me be the first to step up and say that those are some political positions and ideals that I find interesting.
Yeah.
And,
No, I'm not critical of him. What I'm saying is these are his positions. I wanted us to talk about, given that we're black and we're in the community, and you feel that our people should take a look at him, as do I. But my question is, are our people sophisticated and sufficiently informed about the issues such as the Federal Reserve Bank? What would a sound fiscal policy really mean? And what would less government really mean? And, you know, because we can relate to anti-imperialism and anti-war, and, you know, we've all pretty much discredited those critics who say he's a racist. But some of these other points, I don't think I've heard too many black folks, and of course that's because we both know that the mainstream media controls the dialogue and controls who has mic and airtime too.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the whole...
It's an absolute shame that we allow ourselves to... our minds and our positions to be controlled by I think Cornel West calls them even this the corporate media, and I'm saying for black people again to take a look. Ron Paul's position Ron Paul's foreign policy positions are more like Martin Luther King than any other presidential candidate. He's against the wars. He's for bringing home the troops from Afghanistan, from Iraq, and he has taken a very strong position as the war drums are being beat about right now of going to war with Iran. And that's something going on right now that. Definitely black Americans and black voters should take a look at. I think it was very interesting for people to take a look on. It was in late December, I think, here in Washington, D.C., the AIPAC, Jewish lobby, Republican candidates forum here in Washington, D.C. But interestingly enough, they just told Ron Paul not to show up. We definitely are not in agreement with you, and you're not. Paul, and that's what people need to look at. Ron Paul is hardly the racist that the mainstream media would have him to be.
Yeah, but that's the only thing that they can hang around his neck. I mean, you know, people who know him and know his history, he's totally consistent. He's not a flip-flopper. And he's almost like the rural country doctor, you know, in American mythology. That's him.
Yes.
And so he's about all those things, and he poses a major threat to the military-industrial complex and the bankers and everybody who is profiting off of war. And
Ron Paul is the typical who was it? Mr. Smith goes to Washington. He's Americana, and he's far from being a foe of black Americans. He is for many of the things that.
Have you heard his? He's made comments on the prison industrial complex in terms of how the war on drugs has skewered the laws and have put black and poor people at a disadvantage in terms of prison. He's made
about that for a little bit as a part of Ron Paul's. Well, it's not his stump speech, but he does give this speech in across the country. It hasn't been given for some years. I think that he actually gives statistics in the fact that black Americans, the war on drugs has affected black America 16 times more than white America. You've never heard a political candidate say that, white or black.
Mm-hmm.
He says specifically how the war on drugs is impacting black Americans. And he's saying, if elected, or if he were given the alternative, he would stop the war on drugs. He would stop all of the justice and litigation areas of the war on drugs, which would, in fact, as you said, bring decrease the black population, black prison population. I'm not sure of the figures, but I think that it's something astronomical. Like 80% of all prisoners are incarcerated because of drugs or drug laws.
Well, a lot of them are non-violent drug offenses. So you could make the case that the drug laws have something to do with it. As well, he's also, because he's a physician, he has some interesting views on abortion. He has some interesting views on health care. And there are tales, like I said, he's the quintessential rural doctor, where mm-hmm. he rendered his services and didn't charge, or he's done things for his patients. Now, evidently, he's too modest to have that put out about him, but the people in his district know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that you alluded to it. Black people are so wedded to the Democratic Party and the machine that has in many ways betrayed them and us over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, do you think our community is open and receptive to a person like Ron Paul, who doesn't come in with the pixie dust sprinkled on him from the mainstream media and the ruling elites who somehow determine everybody who's supposed to be our spokesman and our leader?
As we said at the very, very beginning, the mainstream media would have you believe that Ron Paul is a racist. So what can black people do other than believe that Ron Paul is a racist? What they really need to do is, as we are trying to do, is look at his positions on various aspects of American life. You will find that his positions are against the status quo. And we as black people need to be for anything that changes the status quo. However, we really just want to keep and adhere to the status quo, don't you think?
Well, I think, like you said, he is against the status quo and the major elements of the status quo: big pharma, the military-industrial complex, the military, the prison-industrial complex, the international banksters. So he poses a threat to them, and other than our unawareness and ignorance about how they impact our lives, we just can't make the connection. We haven't connected the dots because we're so enamored with the Democratic Party. Now, you mentioned that he was against the status quo. His foreign policy positions are very much aligned with Martin Luther King, who was opposed to imperialism, who was opposed to the direction, the moral direction that the country was in back in 1968. And so now we're confronted in 2012 with an elderly gentleman who is impeccable in terms of his integrity, because they haven't been able to find any scandal, anything negative, other than to call him a racist, because if they had, they'd have used it against him a long time ago.
Yes.
Now he's just say that somehow all the dirty tricks and the vote fraud fails, and he gets the nomination, and he were to come up and to be in opposition to Barack Obama. What would your position be as a columnist, as a very thoughtful person, in terms of comparing the two?
I'm very glad you asked me for you asked me what my position would be, but I'm going to give you that. But then we're going to talk about the overall thing. My position would be, my position is right now, and would be that, that of the field of candidates that are running right now for nomination on the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, that Ron Paul is for our needs, for the black people's needs, for our advancement. He presents the very best, the very best alternative. He's very clear on his fiscal goals, what we have to do about our debt, we can't go on maintaining $16 trillion worth of debt. It's just impossible to do. But he has a clear vision on how to do that. His vision about bringing home our soldiers from around the world, it's very clear in that it helps our position. It helps bring us home and helps us defend our homeland and our home base. But it helps us to cut down on our spending for the military. The torture of enemy combatants, for our position in the world, it makes us safer to elect somebody such as the stature and the principles of Ron Paul.
And I agree with that, but underlying that is something that most of us don't want to come to grips with, is that the United States is on a permanent war footing, has been since the end of World War II. The military-industrial complex tentacles go much, much deeper into our culture. At one point, I think I saw a statistic, 80% of the engineers who graduated from college in the United States went to work for a defense industry-related company. So what we're talking about is militarism. Although it doesn't look like Nazi Germany or imperialist Japan, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about militarism, we're talking about empire, we're talking about racism, because there is an element of racism, except for what Clinton did in Kosovo. Most of this stuff is directed at people of color.
Most of our aggression is directed at people of,
right.
At people of color.
Right.
And your comment about us, the United States, being on a permanent war footing is very, very correct. People have to look at, if you just look at the current dialogue going on in the presidential primaries, much of it is about the fact that let's go back to Ron Paul. That Ron Paul is a dangerous man. Well, why is he dangerous? And they say Ron Paul is dangerous because he's not trigger happy to go and start a war with Iran, but we, all of the other candidates, are just a hair trigger away from starting a war with Iran. But Ron Paul talks about the fact that he said, in all wars, minorities suffer the most. So if you think about who the troops are that we're sending around the world and to defend our country. Many of them are minorities, and minorities or black and brown people, and we need to really look at the aggressive American approach to the world and see where we fit into that. Do you really go along with President Obama and what he's done so far in the way that he's carried out his presidency, particularly as far as aggression across the world and the drones that are going on and the military banter that is coming from his office as well in regards to Iraq? I think that it's real important that black people, progressive black people, not succumb to calling Ron Paul a racist, or even any debate about him being a racist, if in fact you can't say what do you know that he's done that should take a look at the his opposition and the people from the military and industrial complex and the people who were continually pushing neocon issues, war in the Middle East, war with Iran, American exceptionalism, the ability to go across the world and say, you know, it is our manifest destiny to have the world do right and bring fairness and democracy to the world. That's not really true, is it?
Right, right. But I mean, now that's one element that the average person could grasp. I want to get a little bit more esoteric with you. I hope you can stay on for a couple more minutes. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve and the bankers and this element, because my piece talks about the real reasons the United States and NATO and the West are going after Iran. It has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. It has nothing to do with them being an existential threat to Israel. It's about them opening their oil bourse and their oil exchange and trading their oil in currencies other than the United States dollar, which flies in the face of the Bretton Woods agreement, flies in the face of the agreement that the United States made with the Saudis following World War II. And if you look at the real reasons, it points to why they just did in Gaddafi, why they're going after now southern Sudan, and you're very familiar with the situation in Sudan, even more so than I am because you've been there numerous times. Sudan, North Korea, at one point Iraq, Iran, Cuba aren't in the Bank of International Settlements, World Bank, IMF, Hydra, where they have centralized banks that kowtow to London, Switzerland, and Wall Street. That's the real reason, and by him attacking the Federal Reserve, he sheds some light on it if the mainstream media would really do their work and delve into that. But the other thing is this debt that is coming out where he just wanted to audit the Fed. This debt is going to be just what we're seeing in Europe, where those debts that the government incurred through the banks, Goldman Sachs, are being foisted on the people, where to the point that they're being forced to cut social services, give up some of their pensions. The banks are stealing money from them. That is coming to the United States. It's already happening. That's what the MF Global is really about. But all of that is connected to his sound fiscal policy and what he wants to do ultimately to the Federal Reserve.
Yes, the whole objective right now is for people like Ron Paul, or people who look at issues such as Ron Paul, to audit the Fed system. But can you talk a little bit? You said that a part of the aggression against Iran really has to do with them wanting to trade in currencies other than dollars, and then you mentioned the Bretton Woods agreement. Can you tie all of those together for somebody like me, and particularly people listening?
All right. Following World War II, when the United States emerged as the one country that was unscathed by the movement of the fascists, one group of fascists. Now there's another group of fascists here in the country that bankrolled them, but that's a whole other story. The pound sterling, which was the world's reserve currency, crashed and was crushed prior to the ending of World War II, which caused the so-called British Empire to just be a thing of the past. So the United States stepped into the vacuum and made agreements with folks that they would use the dollar, particularly with the House of Saud, for all oil transactions.
Was this Bretton Woods agreement?
But Bretton Woods was where the United States dollar, which back then was still backed by gold, they set the gold standard, the weight and all of that, and the agreement was that the United States, because it had its economy intact, would use the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency for all transactions.
And today the dollar is no longer backed by...
Well, what happened was Richard Nixon reneged on the agreement when de Gaulle demanded a payment not in dollars but in gold, which would have depleted the reserve, the actual reserve of gold. He said no. And so they went off the gold standard. And so basically now, over the years, the Federal Reserve has assumed more and more a position almost of like a loan shark, not only to the United States, because they are our bank. It's not the U.S. Treasury. The U.S. Treasury just calls them and tells them how much they need, and they allow the Treasury to print the money. And so all of this goes on, but for every dollar that's printed, it's a dollar worth of debt that we have to pay, as we, meaning the people, the working class people, have to pay.
Yeah, and that is the part that I understand, and most people don't know that. That's the reason it's very, very important to look at what Ron Paul is saying about auditing the Fed and all that. We are debt is being made every day, and
yep.
it's at a phenomenal rate. So people don't understand that we can't keep, or maybe you can tell them, we can't keep printing money.
Well, you can't keep printing worthless money. That, to add insult to injury, not only is the dollar not worth what it used to be, which is a form of tax. If you just go up YouTube and watch Ron Paul grilling Bernanke or any other Fed chairman or any so-called economic experts, you'll get a clear understanding what he's really about. But not only is inflation, meaning an increase in the money supply, and that increase in the money supply drives down the value of dollars already in existence, but also increases the indebtedness of us to the Federal Reserve. So it's a double whammy against us. And they're pretty autonomous. I mean, they go before Congress as a courtesy. They don't have to do anything that the Congress says. And the Congress, contrary to the Constitution, that's why he's a strict constitutionalist, he says, the Congress says, the U.S. Congress shall set the terms, shall coin money and set the weight and value thereof. And so in 1913, they abdicated that to the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned banking consortium. The same people own that, or the same shareholders in the World Bank, the IMF, and on some degree, the Bank of International Settlements. So it's an entanglement of privately owned banks that set policy. The Fed sets the interest rates, and they also determine the amount of money, quote unquote, that's in circulation. We really should say the amount of debt, because for every dollar that's printed, whatever denomination it is automatic debt to us, the taxpayers, and that's why there is the IRS. The IRS is really a collection agency. Prior to that, the government existed off of, in the beginning, slavery, because they got $10 for every one of our ancestors that was imported here. With $10 was a lot of money back in 1790. They got money from tariffs. They got money from leasing agreements. They got money from various other transactions, intergovernmental transactions with other sovereign nations. So they didn't really need it. The tax is to pay, now that we're indebted to the Federal Reserve, the IRS is their collection agency for all intents and purposes. And so that's what all of that is about. And when the Dodd-Frank bill was passed and they were able to get a one-time audit of the Fed, they found out all kinds of stuff that was going on, particularly during the tenuous times from 2008 up till now, when the bottom started falling out. And so that's why it's important for us to look at what Ron Paul is saying, because nobody else out there is saying. And what Mr. Reed talked about, the unsustainability of this debt, and everybody said it, it's to the point now, if you look at it and don't go by government figures, the debt, we're talking in terms of trillions of dollars. That's a relatively new term in our vernacular, trillions.
trillions, but it's a phenomenal word. And we're in debt almost $16 trillion. But when people go to their town meetings or when they meet a local politician, have him talking trillions of dollars and try to come up with just how much money that is.
That's $1,000 billion. Now, keep in mind that this debt that Mr. Reed is talking about is now more than the total GDP, the gross domestic product of this country. Now, part of that is because we've been deindustrialized, offshoring, because of these so-called trade agreements that have shipped not only jobs but capital offshore. America's in major decline. And unless we get a handle on this, look over the pond and look what they're doing to Greece right now. They're raking them over the coals. They're going to do it to Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Ireland. And we're going to be next.
It just has to be the thing that people really have to understand is this just has to play out. You can't play on credit always. You can't keep on credit always. So as the primaries play out, we need to look out and listen real close to Ron Paul and his presidential campaign. Look for the practical political positions that will in fact help our nation. We should stay away from people who portray him as a racist. Look at who they are and take a long, close look to see what their motives are. As we've discussed here today, what we're trying to say is there can be honesty and accountability in a politician. If you take a look at Ron Paul, he really is very close to being the breath of honesty and accountability in this 2012 presidential races.
And the other thing is, once we start going down that road and you start to study and start to understand economics, and I'm not talking about that pop pablum that they feed us in the media, you're going to find out some very alarming things. Now, like I said, we're at the point of total unsustainability. It's very real possibility that the people that are buying U.S. debt could stop doing that. And the major debt holders is not Japan, it's not China, it's us through the Social Security Trust Fund. That's why they're trying to get rid of that. And he has some interesting points on that. So we need to delve into that, and I'm not even going to get into the derivatives that we're talking about, trillions. The derivatives are in the quadrillion range, and there's not enough money to print to cover them if we have another Bear Stearns AIG kind of thing, which they're all across the board like that. And understand what's happening. They just downgraded France's credit rating, and this is going to happen throughout Europe, and it's probably going to come to the U.S. again. They just downgraded it, back in the spring or summer. And keep in mind, these are the same people who colluded to build up the economic mortgage and collateralized debt bubble. So
of 2008.
It's a total scam.
But what do we do? How do we save ourselves?
Well, we have to, in order to save yourself, you have to know that the boat has a hole in it, a gaping hole in it. And just playing musical chairs around the life preserver is not going to save us. We have to take some action. One form of action is to get the facts. And what we're doing now is presenting facts. These are cold, hard facts. It's not unemotional. I'm not hating on Obama or any other candidates. I'm just saying that Mr. Paul, from my observation and the research I've done, he's the one sane candidate that's out there. He's the one who's closest to telling us just how drastic our situation is and offering solutions.
I join in, and I salute you, and I salute the truth. He is, facts of all political stripes, would benefit from having an honest discussion with Ron Paul and or on the issues that he brings forth as far as the Federal Reserve Bank is concerned, military spending, and fair trade agreements. He's the candidate with practical solutions, but how long or just how fairly will blacks look at him is a question we may be left to ponder.
Tell us how we can look at, how can we see, how can folks either get hard copies or see your piece on Mr. Paul in the various venues that you contribute to?
Well, I contribute to the National Newspaper Publishers Syndicate, and that is the national that is the Black Press of America. So, I definitely encourage people of all stripes and all across the country to pick up a black newspaper, and you'll find information that's relevant to you and yourself. I'm also if you just Google my name, William Reed, and also Ron Paul, you'll find that many of the black publications are online, and it should take you to Ron Paul. William Reed, Ron Paul. Google that. I think you'll find it interesting. But read a black newspaper. Think and act black. You'll probably help yourself more.
Yeah. Probably be the most radical thing we could do is to think and act black. Brother, I appreciate your time. We appreciate what you do. And we appreciate the fact that you're a nonconformist and that you're not swayed by the idolation and almost the idolatry and the hero worship that some folks have of the Democratic Party. You're just looking at the facts. You're being a journalist. You're looking at the facts and presenting them and hoping that folks will make learned and wise decisions based on the information that you provide. So we thank you for that.
There's a thing going around that probably the most biggest slap that you could give a person is to say, you know, too many of us are like, give us
Barabbas.
Give us Barabbas. We'll take Barabbas.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you so much.
Okay, we'll have you back, man, because
I look forward
you offer
to it.
Offer some keen insights, food for thought, and you know, it's sad that there's only a handful of us that I've seen out there offering this type of dialogue.
Well, you know, just you know, take a little orange juice in the morning. We'll take them all on.
Yeah,
not a problem.
Okay. All right, man. Stay strong.
Right. Thanks so much, and goodbye, everybody.
All right. Our guest was William Reed. His column, The Business Exchange, appears in African-American newspapers around the country. He's also online. Just use your browser to type in his name, William Reed, that's spelled R-E-E-D. Check him out. Continue to follow him. Be supportive of the black newspapers, just like their mainstream counterparts. They're suffering. The advantage that they have is that they address our community where we're totally ignored except for the negative stereotypes that are rampant in the mainstream press about us. You can at least see and hear a wider variety of thoughts. Now, I'm not saying that the black press is totally free. It's not. A lot of times they're under the gun of advertisers who are fearful of the truth. There's an African proverb that says, truth is in the marketplace, but is it anyone buying? You have an opportunity to hear alternative ideas, alternative perspectives here on the Blake Radio Network, and continue to do that because that's the only way you'll be able to make up your own mind, and that's what we encourage. Free your mind. The rest will follow. engage in mental decolonization. Till next time, stay strong.
Is a base that no army with artillery invades, where no military.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.